When we look back on the pandemic and we think about public education, I think some of the most searing images are definitely going to be things like students sitting outside McDonald's trying to get Wi-Fi, or siblings taking turns with the parents' iPhone to do their homework. The pandemic has made that digital divide really vivid, and now politicians and activists say they're committed to finding solutions. So today, WNYC's education reporter Jessica Gould is here to talk about the challenges, but also some of the possibilities. Hey, Jess.
Hi, Sean.
Can we get a sense of just how widespread the problem is? Like how many of the city students don't have high-speed internet?
Sure. So city officials say more than a million households don't have broadband. But when the pandemic hit, the official number was actually a lot higher than that. And the disparities in who has broadband, they're very stark. Low-income communities are less likely to have connections at home to high-speed internet. Also, the percentage of homes with broadband is much lower for Black and Latino families than for white families. The experts I talked to say there are two main reasons for this, and they're infrastructure and affordability.
So by that, you mean like the actual wires that carry internet into people's homes and like the cost of a plan? What are the obstacles there?
Part of it has to do with the challenge of getting wires from the streets into buildings and apartments. The large internet companies argue it's expensive for them to build the infrastructure to do that, so they need to offer service in areas where people can pay enough to cover construction costs. The problem is, what happens to communities where residents can't pay a high price for service? Some places in New York City aren't connected at all. People sometimes call them digital deserts. But in general, the problem is more about whether companies and landlords are offering the highest quality, high-speed internet and whether residents can afford to pay for it.
Yeah. So New Yorkers, they can access internet in all sorts of ways, but it's not necessarily strong enough for a Zoom class.
Right. And for many, that stronger internet you need for remote school just isn't affordable.
Why is that?
So it has to do with competition in the market.
Okay.
Poorer parts of the city often have a provider available to them, but it's sometimes only one provider. And, you know, richer, whiter neighborhoods usually have several choices. So in poor communities especially, there's not enough competition to drive down costs. And the average cost for broadband is more than $50 a month,
yeah,
which can be a heavy lift for some families. Many companies do have lower price plans, but those plans are usually more basic, and they sometimes don't have the bandwidth you need for video chats. Sometimes they also require a credit check, which can act as a barrier for some families.
So what does that mean for kids who need to use the internet to participate in school?
Yeah, I remember last spring talking to a teenager who would sit outside her neighbor's door trying to catch a signal. And then, you know, I heard of another kid who had to wait till her mom came home from work so she could use her phone to do her homework, you know, at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
The city had this massive distribution of internet-enabled tablets. We've talked about this before, around 500,000 of them. And that did make a big difference. But for some, the signal wasn't strong enough to do school online consistently. Sometimes the tablets didn't work in basement apartments, some broke. And that's why activists and city officials are really pushing to get good, strong internet into every New Yorker's home.
Okay. So you've laid all this out on the table here. What are some of the solutions that people are proposing?
Okay. Just yesterday, the Biden administration started making grants available to subsidize broadband for low-income families, but that's temporary. The state passed a law just a month ago that all internet companies have to provide $15 plans, but the companies, some of them have sued, so that's up in the air. The city has a really expansive plan, an internet master plan that includes partnering with smaller internet providers to drive up competition and drive down costs. And, you know, it's made a big push to wire public housing and some other public spaces. And then just last week, activists launched a campaign for what's called municipal broadband. That means the city would build and operate a system at lower cost for customers. But building and operating a system for the city, that's a big lift, and some critics think it may not be realistic.
So it does sound like there is a lot of new momentum here. But real talk, Jess, what are the chances? Or what are people saying the chances are that these things will fix the problem?
Yeah. So all of these solutions, they have their flaws. And
yeah,
all the experts I talked to said there's no silver bullet. But they said that there are seeds of solutions in all of these ideas. And so we need elements of all of them. And because the pandemic has made these inequities so clear, and because there's money available now,
yeah,
they think this may actually be the moment that things could truly change.
WNYC's Jessica Gould. You can read more about what it'll take to bring universal broadband to all of the city's students at gothamist.com. Thanks, Jess.